Welcome to the Secret Transmission Podcast.
Whoa. Tone it the F down.
I am one of your hosts, Toby.
Let's be real. You are the host.
I'm just the guy that's steering the ship, but I couldn't do it without you guys. So introduce yourselves, co-hosts.
I am the first mate, Rudy, because I'm going for that booty.
And
I guess I'm here, Tyler, once again,
an actual sailor.
He's the one that swabs the poop deck.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
He's actually our navigator.
Lowest on the totem pole.
He's our navigation expert, which isn't that what you kind of did in the Navy?
Very rarely. That was like the smallest part of my job was navigating.
Okay.
The rest he can't talk about since his reptilian symbol on the side of his ship.
Hush. We don't need that.
Guys. Let's talk about the show. So I haven't told y'all anything about this topic that we're talking about today, and I'm pretty excited about it because I don't know what I'm trying to prove with this episode.
I'm not the only one in the dark this time.
No, Rudy's in the
dark. He wouldn't even give
well.
Me a name because he knows I would have looked it up.
Yeah, I didn't
know. Interesting. This will be...
Yeah, I'm in the dark too on this one.
Yes. So this is the Allagash abductions.
Okay.
Now, again, I don't know what I'm trying to prove. I don't know if I'm trying to disprove them or we're just discussing the case. But what I've done is I've gotten like three or four different sources, whether it was written or they actually talked about it in interviews, and there's a ton of clips in this one. Dog.
Fantastic.
Yes. Are y'all ready to just fucking get abducted by this one?
I'm ready to dive in head first.
Okay, so this starts on August 20th, 1976, in I think it's Allagash is how you pronounce it. Allagash, Maine. Four men in their 20s. Two identical twin brothers named Jim and Jack Wiener. Before you chuckle, Tyler, I saw one source that said Weiner, like they were pronouncing it Weiner, but it's spelled W-E-I-N-E-R.
That's definitely Wiener.
And every interview, I'm pretty sure they say Wiener. So
I had a chief name, Chief Faggot.
What?
And everybody tried to call him Chief Fadjay, Chief, you know, Fadjet. But no, he'd be like, no, it's Chief Faggot.
Wow.
So,
okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Shout out to my chief there.
You're a reptilian chief.
All hail the overlords.
Okay, so it was those two, the identical twin brothers, Jack and Jim, and they had two friends, Charles Foltz and Chuck Rack. And they went on a camping trip near...
Oh, that's how it always starts. Oh, we know where this is going. It's... Oh, they had a wiener, all right. Oh, buddy.
So they went on this camping trip near the Allagash River. All four knew each other from some type of art school, from my understanding. Uh-huh, so it was an art school where they met each other. Obviously, the brothers knew each other since birth.
I don't know that.
They were separated.
I've known separated ones that have some very peculiar life choices.
Okay, so here is the first clip of many.
Well, we're just a couple of guys camping, fishing, and we were excited about getting out of the city and being in the wilderness, going somewhere where we'd never been, getting some fishing done, paddling canoes. It was fun.
That's all they were just wanting to go.
Yeah, get out with the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently they had to hire a float plane to fly them in and bring in their canoes near Telos Lake.
Okay.
You know how I am with pronouncing. We're just going to roll with it. I'm pretty sure that they were really deep in these woods. really deep in these woods.
Giggity.
they plan on staying for 2 weeks, and they were just going to hunt and fish and just be men in nature.
Right. And anyone new to this show, I am not going to apologize for my crude, abhorrent behavior.
If you're new to the show, welcome.
Especially with names like Wieners. Sorry, go ahead.
So on the first or possibly the second day, one of the guys saw a light in the sky. Now, depending on the sources, it sounds like they were at a like common area with several other groups of people. Uh-huh. And so a lot of people witnessed this. Some of the other sources make it sound like it was just the four guys. So, okay. I don't know.
Whatever source you read.
Right. But I do have a clip of Jim explaining what he saw that night.
It was just floating above the treetops. It didn't seem to be moving in any direction. And I looked at it through the binoculars for maybe 15 seconds, 30 seconds, and it suddenly just winked out from the outside edges inward.
It's gone.
Where is it?
I mean, it literally just went like that, and it was gone.
It's very strange, wasn't it?
I thought maybe it was a weather balloon or perhaps a helicopter that had just turned a light off that was flying over, but there was something about this thing that left me with an odd feeling that wasn't quite right, but I really didn't dwell on it.
So the weird thing about that clip is, again, some sources, some of the like the articles I read, they talk about this first sighting, like, and this is like the first or second day.
Uh-huh.
But some of the other interviews, this part is completely omitted from the story.
Really?
Yeah.
Which, they didn't see an odd light that winked out of existence all of a sudden.
Yeah, on the first or second night. And like I said, some of the other sources say that it was a common area with lots of people.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the exact story is.
Well, I mean, you're getting, you know, this version of it that obviously they apparently did see a light.
Right.
So.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well.
So, you know, they just went and they're like, whatever. It was just a light. It blinked out of existence. They went on with their camping trip. On either August 24th, 25th, or 26th, depending on the source, again, they reached Eagle Lake and set up a camp. They decided they wanted to go night fishing in one of their canoes. Now, because they were so deep in the woods, it was pitch black, right?
Yeah.
They decided that before they left the campgrounds that they were going to build this big-ass bonfire that they could kind of keep, you know, where the campsite is.
There was no moon that night. It was real dark, and we didn't want to get lost. So we said, well, the thing to do is make a big fire so we can see it, and then we know which way to paddle when we want to get back to camp later.
And it was quite large, but we cleared around the fire, so there was no problem. And these flames were leaping a good 3 or 4 feet up into the air.
Now, if you're curious about that fire, here's one of the other guys explaining it in a different interview. This is Charlie.
That far north at night, it is pitch black. And we had a nice, good-sized fire going. Not too large that it would get out of control and burn the forest, but it was borderline, you know. It was a fairly good fire that would have lasted 4 hours bare minimum. And then we struck out onto the lake just as it was getting dark.
Okay.
Interesting.
I just want to make sure everyone's story is matching up right now.
Yeah.
So far, we all can confirm.
It's a big fire.
It's a big fire.
Pretty good size.
Okay.
But not lake too fishing. Big. Just not.
Yeah. Just borderline.
Just borderline.
All four of us climbed in one canoe with our fishing equipment and headed out into the lake. We were out there for approximately 15 or 20 minutes fishing with no luck. And suddenly, Chuck Rack said, "Hey, guys, that's a heck of a case of swamp gas." And we turned around, and probably 150, maybe 200 yards away at the most, coming out of the trees was this huge ball of glowing, pulsating light.
I remember it as being a very
bright round sphere of light that had kind of a roiling quality to it. It was yellow white in nature. It hovered totally silently over the tree.
Hovering there above the trees, motionless. So we thought, well, it's obviously not an airplane because airplanes don't hover.
Hover. That was Jim and Jack explaining, you know, sort of what they saw.
Yeah.
Now, let's see what Chuck thought.
Okay.
I had a feeling that there was someone staring at me from behind me. I turned over my right shoulder like that, and I saw this large, round globe of light that looked exactly like what we had seen two nights previously.
Anything weird yet?
Well, the first two guys described a large, pulsating, super bright ball of light. He's just kind of like, well, there was a light on the horizon. Just kind of sitting there.
But he felt like it was staring at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who did they say that was the first one to see it? Did they say?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Okay. You know, when you see an unidentifiable light in the sky, what's the first thing that you do?
Holy shit, what's that?
Tyler?
Snapchat it.
I'm verifying that I'm not going crazy. I'm gonna, if there's somebody else around, I'm going, the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know,
but there's other people, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you do what these guys do. You get your flashlight and you shine an SOS signal at it.
Okay.
That's apparently what they did. So
sure.
Here is Jack, Chuck, Charlie, and Jim explaining what they saw.
I remember being in the back of the canoe, paddling leisurely. The two twins were in the middle. Charlie was in the front. And I remember they were having a conversation, and I was focusing on the night and the lake and the water. And I began to feel observed.
And then all of a sudden, Chuck Rack, who was at the back of the canoe, said, holy mackerel, what the hell is that? And I turned around and looked, and there was this huge, bright light that was hot, coming out of the trees. It seemed like it was rising out of the trees. At first, we thought, well, it's got to be an airplane or something, right? So we watched it for a few seconds and realized that it wasn't an airplane because it wasn't making any sound at all. It was strange, very strange.
It was a bright, luminous yellow-white, and changing from that color in a very fluid, liquid kind of a way. And we were very, very fascinated. I was in a state of extreme euphoria, I remember, just feeling, wow, this is fantastic.
It was just alive. And when it was nearest us, about 100 yards away, it paused. And when it paused, I said to the fellas, I said, I'm going to shine the flashlight and see what it does.
The instant he flashed his flashlight, this thing sent this beam of light out to us. And we were in a 16-foot aluminum Grumman canoe, which in the pitch black of night lit up like a Roman candle. We must have looked like this object just waiting to be approached on this lake.
And all I can tell you is what was going through my mind was just exhilarating expectation. Just, this is fantastic. This is something we can communicate with. It's tempting to communicate with us.
I was completely shocked, and especially shocked that it reacted as quickly as it did, which told us there was some type of intelligence about it. And as soon as this light came out, this thing started moving. And so we thought, well, you know, this is real. This is really happening. This is not a figment of our imagination. I mean, we've got to deal with this situation now, because within a few seconds, this thing is going to be right on us.
I wasn't even interested in this thing anymore, other than I didn't want to be as close to it as I was.
I remember paddling as fast as I could, and Jack saying, it's getting closer, it's getting closer.
Holy mackerel.
Holy Toledo's.
So what do you think so far?
So far, so good.
Right. Now, that was all off of one interview where they were all... Okay. Are you following it so far, Tyler?
For the most part, yeah. I think I'm keeping along with it.
Why do I get the feeling this is kind of like one of those riddles you get, you know, where like bus driver stops at the first stop, picks up 10 kids, you know, that thing
yeah.
where,
yeah, yeah.
And then at the end of it, they're like, what color are the bus driver's eyes? And, you know, I get the feeling you're playing a game with us.
I'm not really. That's what I was saying earlier. I don't know what I'm trying to do with this episode. I just found it interesting. Because I feel like there's such small different details in different like interviews and TV shows that they did about this.
You want to call BS.
I don't want to call BS. I just want to understand. I want to see if I was the only one that felt like there was inconsistencies.
Playing the story out too much.
I don't know. We're just trying to see if there's any inconsistencies, Tyler. Okay.
Which means there are.
I don't know. Real. I really don't know. Like, it was just me watching it by myself, and, you know.
If they don't at least talk to a spaceman, I'm going to be real disappointed.
Or a space lady. Why does it always have to be a spaceman?
I'd rather meet a space lady.
I feel like the dominant. God, you know what? I'm going the wrong
direction. Yeah, you. We just lost listeners. Okay, so here.
Tyler does not speak for the Secret Transmission Podcast.
The views expressed on this show.
Excuse me. Okay. I hold my weight around here.
So here is another interview about the same event.
It was a type of a thing where we didn't have to ask what or where. We just seemed to know where he was looking, and we all turned and looked.
It had this roiling effect to it, like a miniature sun. Very, very bright. It lit the treetops up like daylight. And it was absolutely silent.
After looking at it for what seemed like several moments, we decided to signal this thing. And that's when Charlie picked up the flashlight and squeezed off a message, SOS.
See, and maybe it's not that there's inconsistencies. Maybe it just sounds too prepared.
Let's keep going. Let's see how this turns out. I'm kind of interested. I'm kind of see what angle you're playing.
I don't know. I'm trying to get you guys to tell me what angle I'm playing.
He knows what angle he's playing.
So here's another interview with Jim and Chuck. Now they are much older in this interview. Okay, they are much, much older. So let's see. Let's see if they keep it going or change it, whatever.
And, after working our way across, taking a good 20 minutes to get there, we began fishing. And we'd only been there just maybe about 10 minutes at the most.
Yeah, if that.
And the other guy was sitting at the back of the canoe said, "What the hell's that?" And we all turned and looked in that direction. And I saw this light at the tops of the trees.
I mean, this thing was big, man. It was as big as a two-story house. It had to be at least 70, 80 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
Were you fearful?
No, curious. Not at first. We were very curious at first because it made no noise at all, so there was no threatening hums or whines or anything like that.
And it was moving slowly toward us.
It was going very
us.
Slowly, but it had this... It didn't look like a solid object. It was like it had a fuzzy edge to it. I thought, well, let's try signaling. And Chuck had a flashlight because we were using the flashlight to attract fish.
Sure.
And he immediately ticked off a SOS.
Just out of curiosity.
As soon as he did that, I mean, immediately after he did that, this beam of light came out of the bottom of this thing and it came right for our canoe. I mean, we lit up like a roman candle out in the middle of a black lake. So we started paddling, and I mean, we were really going. And I remember looking back at one point to see where this thing was and thinking that it was way behind us, and instead of being way behind us, it was right up there. And then the next thing we remembered, all of a sudden our canoe hit the beach,
And we got out of the canoe and we stood there, and it was right in front of us in the water. I remember standing there looking at this thing, thinking that if I had a stone or a fair-sized rock, like, you know, maybe an egg-sized rock, I could hit it. That's how close it was. So it's about 30, 40 yards maybe. And there was a beam of light coming out of the bottom of it on the water. It wasn't moving. It was almost as if it was sitting on this beam of light. And then the beam went up into the sky, and it just went whoosh, like that, just like an iris closing.
Well, basically, we knew that it was a UFO, an unidentified flying object.
What do you think? Any difference in the story yet, or same story exactly?
It's the same story. It's just, in the first one it was Holy Toledo, and this one it was Holy Shit, or what
right,
the hell?
Right, yeah, there's a little bit of difference in the dialogue,
which is to be expected. I mean,
right?
I get phrases and crap mixed up all the time when I tell a story,
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
It's essentially the same thing,
right? Well, there's all the times where I'll be like, oh, when I was a kid, I was telling my dad, "Holy shit!" Well, I actually didn't say "holy shit," but I was thinking it. You do
yeah,
that, like
yeah.
That. But yeah. I'm not worried about like the verbiage.
Well, so far it seems pretty accurate. We're getting a little more detail now,
okay.
A little more after they hit land.
Okay. Well, let's actually backtrack just a little bit now.
Okay.
We're gonna go back to the light is chasing them. Here they are explaining it. Now, some of these clips are from Unsolved Mysteries. Some of these are from a show on the History Channel. Some of them are just like a YouTube interview.
Right.
I think there might be one more set of clips and stuff, but we're going to go back to them explaining it on Unsolved Mysteries.
Okay.
The sensation I had was one of absolute elation. I couldn't believe it, that we were really going to find out what it was. We attempted to communicate with it, and it actually was responding.
Well, when the light started coming toward us, my curiosity was satisfied. And I just dropped the flashlight. The only thought in my mind was to get to shore. I never looked back.
I remember looking over my shoulder, trying to keep an eye on this object as it was coming up behind us, and it was getting very close. I mean, it was almost on top of us at this point. And I remember thinking that we're not going to outrun this thing. There's just no way. It was coming too quickly.
Any comments?
Uh-huh.
What are you thinking?
In the previous one, he said it was right on top of them already.
Right.
Before they started paddling.
Right.
This one, they're saying that they weren't going to
outrun it.
So, which is it?
Small inconsistency. You're in the heat of the moment telling the story. You're on camera. It could have just been a flub.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to prove anything.
Thank God one of them did get murdered because...
well, I mean, so far... Okay, here... As I was listening to all these clips, I was like, man, these seem like super prepared. And I'm not saying this didn't happen. I'm just saying, like, man, they know this story. Like, this is...
Well, you tell a story enough, and you're going to have it memorized.
Right.
It's just like anything else you do. You do something repeatedly over and over and over again. It's almost like it's muscle memory at that point.
Right, right.
You know?
So, here's another clip of them telling... of the light coming after them. We're gonna hear another clip of them, and it's still coming after them at this point in the story.
Okay.
So this right here is Jack's story.
And we thought, well, sure, go ahead, signal it. What's gonna happen? The minute he did that, as soon as he signaled it, it started moving towards us. The next thing I remembered was seeing the beam coming right towards the back of the canoe, and at that point we started paddling very quickly towards the shore. As I was paddling, I was looking over my shoulder to see where this object was in relation to our canoe, and it kept just following us, coming closer and closer and closer. I was in a panic, to be honest with you. A second later, it was right on, almost on top of us, with this beam
coming across the water right towards our canoe. And I remember thinking, well, we're not going to outrun this thing. There's no way we're going to outrun this thing. And then the next thing I remembered was standing on the beach.
Okay, so which version did we get this out? I mean, are they still matching up or is there small?
It's the same story, different time discrepancies.
Okay.
Of when things happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not crazy thinking that it sounded a little bit funny when I was listening to all these.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So now we're finally going to get to the shore.
Right.
So they ended up at the next thing they know, they're at the shore, right?
Yeah.
It seems like sometimes they have stories of them remembering actually hitting the shore. And then in some of the stories, they don't remember. Like, they hit the shore and they got out.
Like, well, like two clips ago, the guy says, we got to the shore, we turned around, we just sat there and watched it hover over the water.
Right.
And then this one, they're saying, we don't even remember hitting the shore.
Right. So some of them, that's what I'm saying, some of these, they're like, we remember hitting the shore, and we remember getting out. And then some are like, no, then we were in the boat, and then the next thing, we were standing on the shore looking back. So, I don't know. And they weren't in a panic when they looked back, either.
Like, no.
They were panicking in the water, and then all of a sudden, they're on the shore, and they're not panicking anymore.
Right.
And they watched it leave. Now, this light, this UFO, I do like that they said it's an unidentified object. I don't like just saying UFO is aliens.
Right.
Because that's what it is. It's unidentified.
It's an object that's flying that cannot be identified.
Right. So I am glad that they used...
It's the truest definition of what it means.
Right. I just think I don't like when people just... automatically assume,
oh, you saw an alien.
No, I saw something I couldn't fucking identify.
It's more than likely another country most of the time.
Okay, so now they've watched the light and this object leave, and they're on the shore.
Correct.
And I thought, well, that's it. We've lost our chance. We've let it slip through our fingers. And I observed it leaving and just gradually faded out.
Okay, it gradually faded out.
Right.
Or did it blink out like in the other ones?
Oh, yeah.
Which is it?
Yeah, the previous one, he said it blinked out again.
And at the beginning of all their stories, they're like, we were curious, so we flashed the lights at it. But then we were scared to death, so we took off. And now he's saying, well, now we're never going to get a chance to see what that was. Well, why were you running from it?
Okay, let's say it's kind of like seeing a bear at the zoo that you can get pretty close to the cage.
Okay.
But then said bear sticks a paw out.
Okay.
You're going to freak out, get kind of scared, and once you're in a safe distance, you're going to be like, that's a cool bear.
I have a 10-year-old. I have a 5-year-old.
Uh-huh.
I feel like these are the stories they tell me when they're trying to get out of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
like, wait. Back up. Detail that you just said. What do you mean? Who hit who? Like, I feel like that's what I'm dealing with. And I think that's why just dealing with kids,
uh-huh.
This is why this particular story has me like, huh, there's something, and I just can't put my finger on it.
Well, you also have to consider that some of the clips you're playing are from years later.
Right, yes.
So some details are going to be a little skewed.
Yeah, of course. And I'm not saying that... I don't know right. What I'm saying.
They're old men, too. You know, they might not remember things.
Right.
Yeah, we're not exactly the handiest when it comes to fine details.
Not everything works how it used to when you're older. Talking about your memory.
That's so, right.
Talking about memory.
Memory, exactly.
So,
what else would you be talking about?
Yeah, so I don't know. Them wanting to see more in that clip, it kind of confuses me just a little. So here is another version of them telling what happened, where they seem to have done more than just watch it leave.
I remember thinking, my God, I could pick up a stone and bounce it off the side of this thing. That's how close it was.
I picked up the flashlight again and flashed at it a second time. This time there was no response from it. It seemed to just drift away from us.
As it was moving up, it seemed to implode somehow. and it shrank. And then all of a sudden, at a higher level, it reappeared again. And then all of a sudden, it just streaked away. Very, very fast, and within a few seconds, it was like a star, just another light in the sky.
I remember stepping out of the canoe and going up to the campsite, and I remember there was no panic. People seemed to be very relaxed.
Hey, guys, what do you want to do about this fire? It's out.
Oh, hold on a minute. Wait,
what?
What other people?
What do you mean?
I thought they were isolated.
They were.
Who were the other people in the camp then?
I don't know.
But
I guess I missed that part. I was more concerned with the different telling of the light, how it blinked out for a second, but then it appeared again further away, and then it shot away like a shooting star.
Right, and the other guy said it faded away gradually.
And then one said it blinked away.
Right. Well, not only that, but now they get to the camp and everybody on shore seems to be calm, and it's like...
There was a panic.
Who was panic? Wait, why would people be panic? Who are these other people they suddenly mentioned?
I don't know if they were just talking about each other. Now, here was the other detail that got me confused. Did they get out of the boat, or did they just appear on the shore? Because this guy says he specifically remembers stepping out of the boat in one of the clips.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the one guy said that they stepped out of the boat, turned around, and looked at it, and the other guy's, I don't remember.
I don't know. This is weird. Tyler?
Yeah, I think they're old.
Okay, so none of them are injured or anything. They're just a little confused that the events have happened. Their fire's out. They believe the entire event of them being on the lake was only around 20 minutes. And you know, like I said, the fire was out, but it wouldn't have been out in 20 minutes because it was just ash.
Right.
Like it had been burned out for hours,
right,
is what they explained it. And it was just ash. The logs weren't there anymore. Remember, this is a giant bonfire. It's not going to burn out that fast.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently didn't discuss anything after this because they weren't panicking anymore. They just went to sleep.
Okay.
They were just like, yeah, something just chased us. And then we were calm and we went to sleep.
No, that's something you're going to be up for a while going, okay, bro.
That's bro. Sending my fucking ass home.
Right.
I'm like, we're out of here. Pack up.
We're packing up. And the whole time on the way home, we're like, bro.
Did we just see that?
Did we just... Okay, bro. That's what we're going to be doing.
There's a lot of bro.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
You know, most people, when they go out camping, they also like to go drinking. And I wonder...
Uh-huh.
They are art students. Maybe
being a student, that's even more reason to drink.
Maybe getting artsy-fartsy and doing some drugs.
Ooh, maybe some LSD.
Dreams or something. Okay. Like.
Yeah. Toby, some good old drugs.
I don't know if that's the symbol for drugs, what you were doing.
It's my symbol.
It looked like the old In-N-Out symbol.
Hey.
In-N-Out burger.
How dare you?
In-N-Out burger.
It's delicious.
Okay, so here, they didn't talk about it.
The unusual thing is that we didn't stay up for hours and discuss this thing, which is what you would think, you know, four young guys on a camping trip would do. And we just seemed very fatigued, and we just wanted to go to bed. The next morning, we got up and got our camp together and paddled to the next campsite.
So after that, they didn't talk about it. They spent another 10 days on this trip.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have any other encounter.
They were just super tired.
They were just so tired. And in one of the articles I read, it said that they rarely ever spoke about the incident for whatever reason. Like, they never brought it up. They just didn't speak about it.
Okay.
After this incident, the brothers began to notice a change in their art style. Here, let's let Jim and Jack discuss it.
I started out as a very traditional painter. I was interested in landscapes, still lives. I did a lot of pretty ordinary paintings. Then, immediately after the abduction, I became interested in mathematics and science and physics and all this stuff. All of a sudden, I became obsessed, and it started
I started working it into my artwork. I had no idea why.
I used to constantly ask him what exactly was going on here, and he would always say, I have no idea. This is just what's coming out. I don't know why I'm doing this or what it means, but here it is.
It meant something, but I couldn't put my finger on it. It just seemed out of my grasp, but I felt compelled to do it.
Okay, so I've got another clip of Jack talking about the art.
Okay.
I was a clay worker, and I had been doing very traditional type of pottery, plates, pitchers, saucers. Looking back on it, I would say it was fairly mediocre in design. Immediately after the event on the Allagash, my artwork changed drastically. I started doing very bizarre structural pieces. I mean, you become obsessed with these things. You don't eat, you don't sleep, you just work.
Okay, so both of their art styles change completely.
If I was an artist, I would promote the hell out of being abducted and changing my art ways. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, that's a good business model right there.
You're onto something, maybe. I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying.
I mean,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if your art's just...
Listen.
They both said the same thing. It was traditional. Traditional landscape. Traditional this. Boring. Boring. Now they're doing something weird. So they need a weird story.
Listen, if I'm at some kind of trade days market thing, and you and Tyler are both artists, okay? Rudy, you've got a nice pretty picture of a barn. Tyler's got some bullshit that I don't know what it is, but he says, yeah, I used to paint stuff like that barn until I was abducted. You know who I'm going to go talk to?
Mr. Abductee over there.
Unless you're like, yeah, that's where I hid the fucking bodies. I'm not talking to you, Rudy.
I got a probe up my ass. I just paint what the probe tells me to.
I actually liked the probe in my ass, so now I put the paintbrush in my ass, and I just squat over it and just shake my ass and paint.
Well, what I would do then is I'd be like, go open the barn door. Don't listen to Freak over there. Open the barn door.
Now it's a contest of who could be weirder. Yeah, yeah. But I think Tyler was onto something. That was a good
No, tool. I was thinking the same thing. He happened to get it to
Don't
me.
Don't try to take his glory.
It's his glory. I'm giving it to him.
I don't want it.
You can have it.
It's his. I'm trying to steal his shit.
Well, let's take a quick break right here so we can promote some of our friends. When we come back, we're going to talk about the accident.
So, did you bring me here just to tell me I'm an accident?
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
This is Carrie.
This is Billy.
This is Mr. Boat.
And we are from A Podcast from Beneath. You can catch us every Wednesday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Michael Martin, a.k.a. Rickshaw. If you like movies, television, comic books, music, video games, and comedy, then you should tune in to Worship and Tribute Nerd on YouTube. If you don't watch YouTube, that's okay. We've got podcast versions of the same videos on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. Did you ever want to find out what kind of nerdy shit your favorite band likes? Well, we do that too. Movies, television, comic books, music, video games, and comedy. New videos and content every Thursday and Friday at noon Central Time. Worship and Tribute Nerd.
So now we are back, and we're going to talk about the accident.
Ooh, I love a good accident.
Tyler?
Oh, here it is.
You're the accident.
Oh, goddamn. I always knew it, too. See, you know.
if you don't know, Tyler's my brother. I guess we should establish the family connection. Yeah, probably first. So.
Sad part is Tyler predicted this joke would happen.
I know, I did. He did say it earlier. I don't remember if it was even on microphone, though.
No, he didn't. Was.
we went on break, and he goes, "You're going to make me an accident joke, aren't you?" I was like, "Yeah, probably."
Okay, so I guess up until like 1978, after their abduction, Jim Weiner was in a car accident which caused temporal epilepsy. He started suffering from seizures from time to time. And at this time, he began to have sleep issues, which sleep deprivation, I guess, was making the seizures worse.
I'm not a medical expert.
I'm not, but that's how like some of the research I looked up was saying that like
sleep deprivation can enhance epilepsy if you're prone to it.
I guess that's what I didn't understand. Hmm. I don't know. I mean, I don't have any of these issues.
Do you hallucinate?
Sometimes.
Well, that's part of sleep deprivation.
I do have like really vivid like dreams and mm-hmm. stuff. Is that really sleep deprivation?
It can be, yeah.
Oh, I need to go to the doctor, I guess. I do. Anyways.
I've heard stories of people going 2-3 days without sleep and they see shit.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never happened to me, but I've definitely stayed awake for 2 or 3 days straight.
Hey, guys, you want to stay up for about a week and trip?
No.
No.
I'm an asshole when I don't get any sleep.
Me too. Well, I get loopy and just make really bad jokes. Kind of like I'm doing the podcast all the time.
But, well, there you go.
No. Okay. So when he would get sleep, he would also have vivid nightmares like me.
All I remember is seeing vague figures. Anthropomorphic in shape, but they did not seem human to me. They were around me, and they were either doing things with my genitals or they were prodding me with some types of instruments. There was an extreme feeling of malevolence. I mean, I was absolutely always felt terrified in this situation.
What do you think?
So he's seeing anthropomorphic creatures and they're doing things to his genitals. This dude is a filthy little furry.
I've definitely watched this one on Pornhub.
I've seen this plot. It's actually my favorite. So I guess Jim kept these nightmares to himself for a really long time, thinking it was nothing. I mean, he's getting molested in his sleep, in his dreams, but, you know, I'm not going to tell anyone about that.
No, I'm keeping those kind of dreams myself.
Until one day, he told his twin brother Jack about them. But guess what?
Jack had them, too.
So he starts telling me this, my nightmare, on the phone, and I go, holy mackerel, I've been having the same nightmares. What is going on here?
So, okay.
I didn't mean to spoil it.
No, that's
well, they're twins. I mean,
right.
Aren't there studies showing that twins can sometimes have the same dreams?
And they have twin powers.
Right.
Twin magic.
Marry the same person with the same name, you know, and
right.
All there's weird twin stories.
Yeah, they can finish each other's
names.
We're not twins.
No, definitely not.
No, not twins at all. I'm a couple years older.
Oh, that was fantastic.
I was hoping you were going to say like butts or something. Yeah,
I couldn't think of anything else to say.
I just looked at him to see.
Man, you like put him on the spot.
And he, I know. I had
this deer in this head like look. Yeah.
That's just, like say anything but sentences.
Okay, so now we know Jack's having nightmares. What are Jack's nightmares?
I was starting to have nightmares, really terrible nightmares that I could not explain. I found myself in a very brightly lit room. I had no idea where I was or why I was there. To my left, I could see my brother Jim, Chuck Rack, and Charlie Foltz sitting on some type of bench, and they were all naked.
I was wondering why they weren't helping me, because I felt like I was in danger. And while I'm trying to figure this out, I notice this figure, or a dark, shadowy type figure, emerging from this light, this bright light in front of me. I would wake up sweating and breathing heavily and just in a state of terror and shock.
His dreams.
He's dreamed about his friends naked. What's the matter?
Yeah, I mean, I dream about Rudy naked all the time. I mean, what?
Wow.
I dream about Tyler naked. I mean,
I'm your brother. You've probably seen me naked. I mean,
hell. Not since last week.
We've done podcasts together. I'm sure you've seen me naked, too.
We should start a nude podcast.
Welcome to the all-new nude version.
Or nothing, but...
And we had to change formats when the girls wanted to join in.
Okay, so I've got another clip of Jack and Jim both talking more about their dreams and how similar they are.
They started happening more and more often, and they seemed to be becoming more and more real in terms of what I was remembering about these things. There were always certain elements of the dream that were the same, some type of creature, and being helpless, being violated was a feeling I often woke up with. It was a real surprise to find out that Jim was having identical dreams, because I didn't want to talk about my dreams except to Mary. And then when I found out he was having them, it was like, wow, something is going on here, but we just couldn't put our fingers on it.
They couldn't put their fingers on it.
Gross. Gross, Toby.
Well, I was just repeating what he said.
You know what you meant.
They just could put their fingers in it.
Apparently the aliens could put their finger on it. I'm just saying.
Or maybe it was tentacles.
Who knows?
I've seen that one too.
Yeah. Gross.
So Jim ended up going to a psychiatrist because of these nightmares. He was referred to Ray Fowler, who was an alien abduction researcher. Here is Ray.
I think that the Wieners opened Pandora's box because now they have questions about reality that they never had before. They have questions for which there are no answers.
Did you hear that first of that?
I think that the Wieners opened Pandora's box.
He thinks that the Wieners opened Pandora's box.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I wanted that clip. Oh my. I needed the cheap laugh.
Oh God, I was just curious what we were. I was like, what's he getting to here?
Yeah, what's he going on here?
The Wieners.
Right in Pandora's box, huh?
Okay, so...
So childish.
I know, I couldn't help it. Eventually, Ray suggested that all four of the men go under hypnosis with a trained hypnotherapist to try and recover the details about the event. So each of the men would go in under hypnosis at different times so they couldn't influence each other's answers.
Right.
Which I like that. That's good.
Smart.
Yeah. Here's Jim explaining what he remembered once the light actually touched them from the craft. Remember how we really, really know that light story? Here's what he remembers. Here's Jim.
One of the things I remembered very clearly was Jack saying that it's gaining on us. And I remember suddenly being enveloped in this tube of light. And I remembered looking up, and I was thinking about what the heck is that up there? You know, like what's up there? And that took a few seconds, and then I looked back again, and Chuck Rack's gone. The last thing I remembered was having both hands on the side of the canoe, looking out at the water to see if Chuck was in the water, and then not seeing him, thinking, oh my God, you know, what happened to Chuck? And then looking up, and then the next thing I remembered was this just intense feeling of almost like I was coming apart or something. That's the only way I can describe it. Then the next thing I remembered was being on my back in this hazy
environment, which was just like this nightmare that I'd been having.
Is this a dream?
That was, well, this is what he's remembering from his...
his regression therapy.
Yeah, from his hypnotherapist. So now, this is no longer a dream. This is apparently a memory. But it was exactly like his dreams.
So they're thinking that they never made it to shore and just maybe got dropped off later.
Well, right. That they, or they made it to shore, but there's a little bit of a gap in between them canoeing to shore and, you know.
It sounds like only one person got abducted.
I think they all did. I don't know. I don't recall if they all end up on the ship or not. But in all the dreams, they remember seeing...
all four of them on the ship.
Right, yeah. So...
maybe at some point.
Here are Jim's actual hypno session and explaining it on the other show, along with Jack's memories and explaining what they look like and what they did to him. So this has got a couple of things in it, but it's a pretty interesting clip.
A beam is coming towards us. I don't know what it's going to do. It makes me feel like I'm flying apart.
I remembered a pressure, a heat of my physical body being ripped to shreds, like on a molecular level. I mean, it's the only way I can verbalize it, but it is an extremely unpleasant feeling. It feels like death. Had no idea where I was. Then I realized that the three guys were sitting to my left on this bench, naked. All I knew was I was in a strange place, laying naked, paralyzed with this thing coming towards me. Creatures that I remembered, they reminded me of bugs. No eyelids, they didn't blink. I remember these creatures examining my brother with a type of wand, is what it appeared to me as. It was a long, thin instrument, maybe the diameter of a pencil, a little over a foot long with a bulbous end on it. The next thing I remembered was they turned me over, and then they were doing some type of anal exam, and it terrified me. I remember them taking a sperm sample from me. They flooded my mind with images of lovemaking and sexual visions, which aroused me. But it was totally out of my control. The next thing I knew, we were standing on the beach.
Most people have to pay for a good time like that.
No, that's all I'm saying. No kidding, man. Maybe that's why I've never been abducted. Maybe they looked in my mind and went, oh, no.
Hey, don't like this too much. No. I mean, I start coming back.
Yeah. So re-listening to these clips, it makes me go back to something that we said earlier. What if they were just like on some drugs and they had a party, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Big old tan orgy.
They started on the water and then shit moved to the surface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To the shore.
To the shoreline. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then drugs wore off. And
that's
this.
Why they didn't talk about it. They were just like, nope.
No.
Anyways.
You know, there is that theory that alien abduction stories are repressed sexual encounters.
Yes. I have heard that, actually. Mm-hmm.
I have never heard that. That's mm-hmm. interesting. Mm-hmm. I can see that, though.
So they come up with this story that...
it wasn't human.
Right. It was because it was so far out there for them when it happened. They come up... the mind creates this scenario that never actually happened because they were traumatized by what actually happened.
So here's some more hypnotapes. This one's Jim's. And I think he's going to try to fight them. He's going to throttle them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. They don't know what to do. I think they think I'm going to come after them. I feel like I want to. I feel like I want to. The first one that comes near me, I'm going to throttle them. That's what I want to do, is throttle them. I don't like these things. I don't care where they come from. They shouldn't be doing this to people.
I'm going to throttle you.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
I've never heard that expression. I'm going to fucking throttle you, bitch.
Well, the '70s were a different time.
Come at me, bitch. I'm gonna throttle you.
Yeah. It's like a good tussle, you know.
Good tussle.
Yeah, people don't say that anymore, but I like that word.
I like to scrap.
Yeah.
Put your dukes up.
Let's go to fisticuffs here.
Oh,
yeah.
Little game of fisticuffs, eh? So here's Jax hypnotapes about actually seeing the creatures and what they're telling him.
They're right there. Their face is right in my face. I don't know why. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what they want. Oh, they're saying things. They're explaining things with their eyes. In my head. They're saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We won't harm you. They say, do what we say. Just do what we say.
That one's pretty creepy. I won't lie.
That's pretty creepy.
Especially like since he's under hypnosis, like and that music on that clip. It's really, really creepy.
The artwork didn't help out either.
Yeah.
Except for the one that had the cute little smile.
Yeah. The alien was smiling.
He's looking at him like, come on, buddy. Just let me stick it up the booty. It'll be all right.
Okay, so let's check in with Charlie's hypnotape, explaining what he sees.
Sure, because I need nightmares.
I'm afraid that it's like a doctor's office. Ain't it? It's cold like a doctor's office is cold. They put the panel over your chest. Scrape your arms, your chest, your legs, your thighs. We shouldn't be here. Let's keep thinking I want to be back in the canoe.
All right. We've got Charlie.
Uh-huh.
We've got Chuck left.
Okay.
Now, Chuck is going to be explaining what he saw Charlie going through.
Oh.
He's watching Charlie.
See some sort of device on him. They've got a, it looks like a silvery. It looks like the, like it's got curves on it. It's almost like it sucks something. He's got his head tipped way back. Almost like he's in pain. We're just there. We can't help him. We're just, all we can do is watch him.
How are you feeling about this so far?
I mean, sounds like kind of typical alien abduction story, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, here's Charlie going into detail of what the creatures look like to him.
Okay.
I'm lying on my back, and I'm disoriented. I'm not sure where I am. As I'm forcing and struggling to get up, a face appears and looks straight down at me.
Reminded me of insects. I remember thinking, my God, these things look like bugs. They had like large eyes, almost like ants have. They could have been goggles for all I know, but and they had some kind of clothing on, like spandex. I became focused on this thing's hand and realizing that it was not a hand like ours at all.
and this one had me by the wrist, and he was holding my arm up, and he had something else in his hand. But it, I didn't like the looks of it. And I remember thinking, oh, boy, here we go. This is it. I got 5 seconds to live. They're going to cut me open. They're going to dissect me, whatever. I just want to get out of here. Get me out of here.
So now they've been poked. They've been prodded.
Mm-hmm.
Aliens had their way with them. Didn't buy them dinner. Now it's time to send them home.
Right.
Leave the money on the counter.
They didn't even leave money on the counter.
Nope. Nope.
Just a good time that they couldn't remember.
Just a good time.
It's like a bunch of Bill Cosbys.
I do remember them saying they started that fire. They went out there. They'd barely been out there before they saw the light. Uh-huh. And then when they got back to shore, the fire was out. Right. I didn't catch that at first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they said it's going to burn for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's where that missing time is. So they're all getting molested by the aliens.
Not gonna lie, like that, after that part, I was like, okay, where are we going with this? I think it's alien objections, but
yeah, you weren't real sure. Okay, so here's a clip of Chuck telling how they got back.
They moved us again into this other space, this room. Then this area in front of me started changing somehow. It was doing something. It was some type of machine or something. It was very strange. And the last thing I remembered thinking was, here we go. I don't know what's going to happen next, but something is happening.
Under regressive hypnosis, I remember the aliens trying to put me in the canoe. There was one of them standing in the canoe over me, trying to adjust my position in the back of the canoe, and another one was sort of waist deep in the water right next to me. And then they tried to position Jim Wiener in front of me, but he's heavier, and they were having a hard time with him. And then the other two were beamed right on land, and then Jim got out to join them.
So after all these hypno sessions, they all finally went and sat in the same room to kind of see what everyone else's memories were on these events.
Uh-huh.
Experiences. We were amazed that Jack would say something about how he remembered the light, or Chuck Rack would say something that he remembered, or Charlie would say, and we'd sit there, my God, that's exactly what we remembered.
One person would pause to take a breath, and the next person would pick up, and you knew what they were going to say. You knew what they were going to say. And when they paused for breath, you could continue.
It was just amazing to come to the realizations that all these things were really true, and that they really had meaning. And it was also kind of nice to know that I wasn't going insane having these nightmares, that they were, in fact, real memories of an event that did happen.
So they've got the same stories. They're finishing each other's
names.
I couldn't think of the first word I used. Goddamn! Stop catching me off guard.
So yeah, obviously they're like, hey, you saw the aliens too? Yeah,
it looked like an insect.
Yeah,
it was creepy as fuck.
Did they put stuff in your butt?
Oh no.
Yeah, they didn't mind either. Okay, so here is older Jim and Chuck going over the info one last time, okay? We got them older. This is a later, way later interview.
Uh-huh.
Older men.
They treated us, we liken it as if you or I were animal behaviorists and we went to the North Pole and darted a polar bear and we wanted to go out and then measure its teeth and mm-hmm. see how its jaws samples, move, take some blood samples, maybe a sperm sample, you know, see how its limbs articulate, you know, mm-hmm. What's that orifice, what's this orifice, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we were treated.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I remembered was sitting in this room. It was a room where I could focus clearly directly in front of me, but my peripheral vision was blurred. And my brother was standing maybe 8-10 feet away from me. He was standing and he was naked.
Mm-hmm.
And there were these beings these kind of, they were human shape, but they weren't human. And they had a wand that was maybe 14 inches long. It was thin on one end and had a slight tiny little bulb on it. And they were like scanning his arms, and they were taking his arms and articulating his wrists and his shoulder. And I kept thinking, my God, they're going to really hurt him if they keep doing this. I remember that thought going through my head.
How long do you believe you were under that control?
Probably 2.5, maybe 3 hours.
Does it bother you when people say that you might be crazy or you might be making it up?
Anymore? We've heard it so many times over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, number one, we have nothing to gain by this, right, except public ridicule a lot. But our goal would be to enlighten, inform, and, you know, put some type of positive direction on this.
So,
that's pretty much their story.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were given polygraph tests.
Oh, no.
By Ernest Reed.
Oh, no.
No, I don't know why you're saying no. I'm just telling you. Because
you were like, oh, we're done. But wait, there's more.
After administering the examinations, reviewing the charts in detail, after talking with both of the brothers, there is absolutely, positively no doubt in my mind that they are being absolutely honest with me when they tell me that they were confronted by a phenomena in the Allagash region.
One person might fool a polygraph examiner, but you have four all passing the tests, and the polygraph examiner being convinced that all four are telling the truth is very important.
So the second guy that was confirming there for Ernest,
uh-huh,
was that Ray Fowler guy, the hypnotherapist.
Okay.
I think that was him.
Gotcha.
So Ray Fowler 100% believes their story because the evidence says they have.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the evidence from Ray Fowler.
If you had the amount of evidence for the reality of the Allagash abductions for any other subject, any mundane subject, in a court of law, you could hang a person probably. But because of the bizarre nature of the case, that's not going to happen. People aren't going to accept that evidence, although the evidence is there.
What evidence did you think he had to believe them?
The polygraph test?
Well, here's more from Fowler.
Okay.
The Allagash abduction exhibits the typical characteristics of many, many other sightings and abductions that we've investigated. And I feel very strongly that what they described is a real experience.
The first time... feels very strongly. That's the evidence.
That's the evidence.
That's the evidence, is that he feels strongly. Okay.
Good enough for me.
Don't quite think he understands how the courts of laws work.
That's what I found so funny. Okay, the polygraph, that's the evidence. But there's no... evidence.
Well, polygraphs aren't even admissible in court because of how wonky they can be.
Evidence is a glove that may or may not fit.
Yeah. It is scarring. It is
bruising.
It's something under the skin.
Right.
Radiation sickness, a radiation burns, you know,
right,
something. There's
powers. Getting powers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he believes it. And that's all the evidence he needs.
Hiring him as my next lawyer.
No. Oh, God, no. Oh, you're asking for trouble then, buddy.
No, just tell the judge. It's all the evidence they need.
It'll be good. Judge, he believes me. It's fine.
That's all the evidence we have, is that he believes me. I am not guilty.
Right.
So here's Jim's last thoughts on this entire debacle.
It's not over. This is an ongoing thing. We're basically tagged. I mean, my impression was that they were scientists here doing a job. I feel that I'm part of an ongoing study. There's nothing I can do to change that. I have to accept it. Otherwise, what can I do? Go hide? They're going to find you.
That was young Jim. Okay.
Right.
I don't think anything has happened
since then.
And he was saying it's not over.
Right.
I think it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this is the last clip I have. And I love this clip. And I believe Chuck has a pretty hard stance on this. Okay?
Okay.
Because Chuck don't give a fuck, if you believe him.
If you were to tell somebody 40 years ago that they would be able to see on an invention called a television set, which didn't exist, a meteorite crashing into a planet that they can now watch at home, that's a reality check, folks. And yet, 40 years ago, that's science fiction. This happened. If you believe it, that's all right. If you don't believe it, I don't care. I don't care, because it did.
He doesn't care if you believe him.
That's right.
It did.
Now, I believe...
I mean, the flat Earth was flat until... Well, actually, technically, it still is flat.
If you're one of those people. So... I believe that was Chuck.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that old Chuck, I think that was Chuck that was in the older clips of them, yeah. If I remember correctly.
He's basically saying the same thing. We've heard it all. I don't care what they think.
Right. I think Charles Foltz has since gone back and said, no, these are all lies.
Really?
One of the four guys, and I don't think it was the twins, and I don't think it was Chuck. That's why I'm narrowing it down. I can't remember... I didn't write that info down, but one of the guys has, I believe, I might have this info wrong, has come out and been like, no, it's all fake.
Ooh, that's intriguing.
He got them all drugged up and probed them all, didn't he?
That's right. That's right.
So I don't know.
He's pretty good at that polygraph test.
Now, what Tyler was saying earlier about, you know, them selling their new art was pretty good. Rudy wanted to take the credit, but he couldn't.
I'll give it to him.
You dick.
Just three payments of $5.99.
Now, okay, that's a good point. But remember Fowler, the therapist or whatever he was, he actually... Oh, he's the abduction researcher. He wrote a book called The Algash Abductions. He's also profiting off this. Uh-huh. Of course he's going to keep saying, yeah, dude.
It's real.
And, of course, he's going to be like, yeah, dude, the polygraphs are real, too.
Right.
So, and I know they said, what is there to gain? Well, nothing now that you're older men and couldn't sell the rights to a movie or
right.
whatever.
Right.
But my main question is, do you think the story was consistent? Do you think it was too well rehearsed? Do you feel like they're telling the truth? What do you guys think? After hearing all this laid out, how it was.
I'm always skeptical on alien abductions. Uh-huh. So I'm not going to say this definitely happened, but it was definitely interesting.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the story.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Here's the problem with their only piece of evidence, the polygraph tests.
Literally the only piece of quote evidence.
Right. When you believe a lie long enough, it becomes your truth. And when it becomes your truth, no amount of polygraph tests are going to be able to disprove what you're saying is a lie.
Right. Because in your head, it is the truth.
It is 100% the truth. Right. So if this was their story, and I want to know, when did they do these polygraph tests? Immediately? Years later?
Yeah, I don't have any details on that.
Because the longer it goes...
It had to have been... Let me look, because when did this case take place?
76?
76. Yeah. And then he started having nightmares, and the car accident, I believe, was 78. So 2 years later.
2 years later. They've had 2 years to sit on this story and let it ferment and let it become their truth.
Heck, they didn't even know they were abducted until 2 years down the line, right?
Well, remember, they specifically didn't talk about it, which could be a weird detail.
Yeah.
To say, no, we fucking talked about it, and like that's why we all know each other's story.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, if we're saying...
They did kind of drive home that, well, we didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
we really didn't talk about it. It's like, are you trying to set up
bullshit? The next morning I'd be like,
bro,
hey, did something fucked up happen out there? Yeah. Like, I know we were calm and not panicking anymore, but
and
something...
they still went camping 10 days.
10 more days. 10 more days.
After the incident. That's 10 days to line up a story.
I don't know. Again, I didn't have any motive with this case. I just thought it was interesting because I couldn't tell if I felt like it was well-rehearsed.
Mm-hmm. Now, the regression is kind of interesting, but... hypnosis to me is a little unreliable.
Now, I did see a hypnotist, which they're doing two different things. Like, the hypnotist is putting on a show.
Uh-huh.
And these kind of hypnotists are really trying to, like, relax you and let you go deep into your thoughts.
Right.
I understand that. Right. I'm not trying to compare the two exactly. But I know the hypnotist I watched on stage... was leading everyone to do what he wanted. So if he wanted a joke to go a certain way, because he was kind of a comedian hypnotist, he would definitely like kind of say something to you to lead you into it.
It's the little subtleties.
So do you think maybe this hypnotist could have done something like that?
I'm just saying. You're Was Fowler the hypnotist?
You know, I don't recall who the hypnotist ended up being exactly.
Because my...
If it was Fowler that was doing it, and he's the abduction researcher, I think that's...
Well, if he's the abduction researcher, he probably knows a regression therapist. And if he knows them personally... who's to say he knows them into leading them into certain thoughts?
Right.
Because the guys themselves already think things because of the dreams.
Right.
You know, or if they already have their story.
Well, now you've got Jim and Jack, the twins, talking to each other, telling each other, oh, I'm kind of having the same dreams.
Uh-huh.
That's weird. I wonder at any point, did they already go and tell the other two, hey, we're having these weird dreams. Are you guys having these dreams like this?
Right.
And it's already in their head. So when they do this hypno stuff, now they're spitting out like what they were told.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It could be something like that. It could be all made up bullshit.
Right.
I don't know.
Especially when the one guy allegedly comes out and says, yeah, we made it all up for giggles.
I wish I could remember where I read that source at exactly.
Uh-huh. But like Tyler said, I'm always a little dubious on abduction stories.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially when there's like not real evidence. Real evidence like we were talking about. A mark on your body.
The people that pull, you know, the metal slugs out of their arms or their shoulders or wherever.
Right.
You know, because there's a doctor that specializes in that, right?
If I
think I've been abducted, and then I can go to him and say, can you scan me and see if I've got anything there? And he'll go, oh, there's just a little thing right at the base of your neck or in your arm or leg or whatever. And they'll pull them out for you.
You're right.
You know, so that to me is evidence, especially when they do analysis on them and they can't identify the metals. That's pretty cool.
Okay. Now, this is just on the Allagash Abductions Wikipedia.
Ugh.
And I know, I don't like using Wikipedia as a source, but they don't really have too much on this case. It's a really just small blurb.
Right.
But this paragraph in particular is interesting because it says, in a later interview by the St. John Valley Times, Charles Rack changed his story saying he saw strange lights during the camping trip, but the abduction part of the story was a total fabrication, and he went along with the narrative for financial gain. The other three members of the group stand by the abduction story. According to Jim Weiner, Jack, Charlie, and I, after all these years, are still in agreement with the Eagle Lake event as we three remember it. We also accept the results of the hypnotic regression sessions and subsequent polygraph tests as supportive of an abduction scenario. Charles ended up just being like, guys, I'm done with this. I didn't make any fucking money. Fuck you guys. That's what it sounds like. Anyways, that may not be the case. So,
okay. Charles Rack changed his story, but then in the quote it says, Jack, Charlie, and I.
I think Chuck, his real name's Charlie.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think there was two Charles.
So let's play this angle. It really happened, and then the fourth guy isn't getting a cut of something, and so he's like, you know what, fuck y'all.
You know, and there is something similar with the Travis Walton case.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, that he had, I believe there was four or five other guys with them.
Yeah.
And all the guys, all agree, the last time I did some bare minimum research on the topic, all the guys except one is like, nope, didn't happen. So, and you know, you wonder, like,
right,
did you just get pissed?
Right.
Did something happen? Did one of the guys steal your girl? What happened?
Right.
What happened where you changed your mind after all these years going on fucking TV to tell a story about getting probed by aliens?
And then turn around and say, oh, man, it never didn't mind. Happen.
No. Just kidding.
We did it for the lulz.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to hear what like our listeners think of this case. Was there anything weird about it?
He's trying to move on from it too, like, yeah, not want to think about it anymore.
Yeah,
like,
hey, that could be it too. You know, I mean, that's a hell of a lie to hold on to, and then all of a sudden go, nah,
wipe your hands clean of it. Yeah, and just walk away. Yeah,
right.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm thinking. You know, if it was all for shiz and gigs, what did they cut him out of? And for him to finally admit the truth.
Where did he get cheated out?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Either he got cheated, so he either was like, I'm going to tell him the truth, or he got cheated and was like, I'm going to tell him it was a lie. I mean, it could be either excuse.
Right.
But people being people, you don't find out until later, if ever, what happened or not happened.
Right.
So it's one of those fun little stories.
Oh. I hope you guys like this one. This one was a weird one to like really officially come back to. I feel like our last episode wasn't an official episode like this. So
right.
I hope this is a good getting our feet wet again and going after these crazy stories.
I liked our last episode.
Yeah, it was good.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was always fun too.
Got to make fun of people.
Yeah, but this one, you know, we got to just focus on an old story where we do know all the details, and that's what I like. I like being able to, we don't know all the details.
No.
But we know the story anyways.
Right.
This story is complete.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And we got to hear Wieners open Pandora's box.
Gross.
Wieners are always in Pandora's box.
Just don't go to the hub and type that in. I'm sure you're going to get some fascinating results.
Well, if you want any more information on our show, because we're going to wrap up now.
Uh-huh.
SecretTransmission.com.
There you go.
That's it. You go to SecretTransmission.com. You'll find all our social media, our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook group, all the good stuff.
That's right.
And you can also go to badsecretmedia.com, and you can find all the other little projects that I'm involved in.
Uh-huh.
You can find my Toby versus Telemarketer YouTube page, where I harass the telemarketers that are harassing me. And then, of course, my other show, Secret Levels, which is a retro video game review show. But you can go to Bad Secret Media and find all that. And if you want, you can support us on Patreon. We have a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/badsecretmedia. It's actually to support this show, Secret Levels, and the Derailers podcast.
There you go.
For a dollar, you're getting extra content every week. It might be a Secret Transmission. It may be a Secret Levels. It may be a Derailers. But you're going to get something, and you're supporting three shows for a buck. It's awesome.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. But that's it, guys.
Cool.
Got anything else to say? You want to admit to me that something that we've known for 25 years is fake?
I'm not an accident.
You are an accident. No, I'm sorry.
You're an accident.
You're an accident. I'm not an accident.
Toby, I got a secret.
Yeah?
You and me are really brothers.
I knew
bum,
it.
Bum,
bum. Not thickens. You and me, though, Tyler. Just me.
Of course, of course. Yeah. That's just how my family works.
Yeah, we've got a lot of half-brother, half-sister situations going on. It's confusing. I'll tell you about it later. Anyways, you guys want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Later, guys.
Peace out, dogs.
Ready to say goodbye, Roger.